Good afternoon. This is Tanya Schultz with Social Chats AWC, South Florida. I'm live streaming today with my special guest, Debbie Ellickson, and she's also my co-host on my Friday's Social Chats Freecast. But Donna Lawrence couldn't make it today. She's actually on her way to on vacation, and but she'll be back next Monday. But Debbie is so kind enough to take some time off her busy day to come by and chat with us. And Debbie is known as the guru in self-publishing. How are you, Debbie?
I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. I'm like, you know, I'm following your, you're putting out a new book about yourself. And I love the name, by the way. You came up with it. We really liked it.
Well, I've lived in a locker room most of my life, so I figure a lot of people have been bugging me to do this, and I kind of feel weird doing it, but
why?
Oh well. Well, you know, I'm always working with other people and working on their books, even though some of those books are personal stories, but when you go to put your own personal story on, it's the reporter thing, I think, because usually the reporters are not part of the story. They just report on the story. So that's why it feels weird.
But you're the one that helped other people get their books published.
Yes.
It's like you're the chef who dictates what to cook, but you're afraid to cook your own dinner?
Way of putting it, although I don't cook that much, but I'd say that how I usually term it very, you know, diplomatically is that people, when they finish their manuscripts, they go, now what? And then they pretty much dump them in my lap and say, okay, here, you do it. And so that's how I've produced about 150 books since I started doing this in about 2000.
Wow, that's a lot of books. I mean, how long is and remember we talked about this, you have to keep me like focused on one subject because now I have like so much stuff to ask you. But how long does one book take to go from A to Z for book publishing? Let's say they're done with it, and what are the steps?
Well, that is a great question, and I find that the author drives the process. So, in other words, while one always intends to have a project done at a certain time, stuff usually happens to delay it. But although I have seen occasionally where they have pushed it through, so I have worked on with one author, and she's a professional speaker. She helps people communicate verbally, so she trains corporate leaders, and she even trains other speakers to be better presenters. And she did a series of five little books that we put together in a month. It took her not even a day to write them.
Wow!
Because she basically took. Redid some parts of another book that she had and just freshened them up and dusted them off and made little books. They were small, like 48 and 60 page booklets. So it took really the whole process to do those books, from her giving me the manuscript to having it in layout, actually having the books in her hand, took probably a month to 5 weeks.
Wow, that's not much.
And other books take way longer.
Yeah, I always thought.
It's up to the author. They drive the process. So a lot of times projects get delayed for whatever reason, or if you're doing an anthology, and this happens a lot, where you are relying on other people to submit material. Well, they don't always follow through on the timetable, and you're waiting for those pieces to come in. So if you think it might happen in a month or two, sometimes it takes quite a bit longer, and then you have to decide, do you want to wait for that person to make their submission, or do you want to carry on? So it usually ends up being the author that drives it.
So the author is the one that determines, pretty much sets it, because, you know, ironically, I've always was told that it's the author wants it done, but the other people on the other end takes longer.
Well, that can happen too, and it all depends on how you get published. And there's a misnomer about self-publishing. When I talk about self-publishing, I'm talking about the owner, the author controls the process from A to Z. Uh-huh. They basically write the manuscript, they hire the editor / graphic designer or both, and they have it sent to a printer, and it's printed and delivered to them, and they do the marketing. That is pure self-publishing. What you see, and you and I can both be print-on-demand publishers, just mm-hmm. so you know.
Yes.
Because print-on-demand companies basically sell themselves self-publishing. It is self-publishing in a way, but you do lose a little bit of control when you hand over your project to somebody else to create it, and they give you a template to choose from. And, you know, I would say that if you're going to use a print-on-demand company, you really need to vet them. There are many well-known companies out there, but do they do what they say they do? You need to talk to some of the authors just to see what their experience is. And it also comes down to, what do you want to do with the book when you publish it? Because if it is a book that you want to be taken seriously, if it's a business book, if it's something about your branding, then if you use a print-on-demand publisher, sometimes the quality of the product is not always that good. So you really don't want it to look like a self-published book. That's usually where I come in.
And so you help self-publisher, pretty much, as far as telling them where to use...
Yeah, I help authors publish, so I also help them write, too.
Oh, okay.
Occasionally, I've ghostwritten a couple of books. Ghostwriting and a lot of times I'll do the editing as well, but editing and ghostwriting, that's another thing that an author needs to really vet, because you can get it, anybody can edit. Mm-hmm. Well, any editor can edit, and don't go get somebody to edit your book that doesn't write or doesn't edit for a living, because unless they're a retired school teacher, but you're still going to have issues that may come into play for editing, and no book is ever perfectly edited. Editing is kind of it's a give and take process usually, mm-hmm. and it goes back and forth a couple of times. But with finding an editor and finding a ghostwriter, there has to be a communication there. There has to be a really good fit. I would really encourage if you can't have a face-to-face meeting with the editor, then perhaps have a telephone or a Skype meeting with the editor, because you need to know that person is on the same page as you. Because if you're an author writing about, I don't know, say kids, or something, flowers or whatever, and your editor doesn't know anything about that topic and doesn't know the terminology or doesn't even like flowers, mm-hmm. then you may not want to hire them as the editor, because that might not necessarily, you may not be happy with the end result. So you have to have kind of the same philosophy, I think, if you're going to hire a writer or a ghostwriter, or a editor and a ghostwriter.
So you have to find someone that actually know what you're talking about, pretty much, instead of digits, which makes sense, because you don't want somebody that's never even know what kind. Let's say you wrote a book about flowers, if that person and the person that's helping you don't know much about it, wouldn't the process take longer?
Well, you can learn about flowers, but I mean, the philosophy has to be there. So, for instance, if when I take on projects, I've been very lucky, and most of us are multi-topiced because we have a variety of interests, most of us. We're not just single-topiced, and, you know, that is certainly true for me. So if somebody came to me with a military book, well, I used to devour my father's military books when I was growing up, and I've actually written a mascot book, and I, you know, I'm sports, I'm in business, I'm in, you know, I've worked on sales books. So the main thing is that they get you, or you get each other. I don't know how to explain it other than they have to kind of mirror your philosophy, because if it's not, if it doesn't feel right, then don't go with that person. And it may not have anything to do with them personally. I mean, they may be very nice people. It's just that the communication is so important that if it isn't there, if that connection isn't there, then the author is really going to be disappointed with the end result because they're not on the same page.
That makes sense. That makes sense quite a bit. So first, they're going to find, so when somebody finished writing their books, they'll go ahead and contact a specialist like yourself. But nowadays, with all the digital world we are into, I mean, you must be very multimedia savvy, because just these days, a lot of the books, you know, besides once a finished product is done, it's usually the author is the one that drives the traffic, as far as, you know, putting their voice in the social network. Can we chat a little bit about that, as far as once the book is done, what happens after that?
Yeah, and today, and I encourage you to don't write a book for the sake of writing a book, because nobody cares. They want to know what's in it. For me, why should I read this message? What am I going to get out of it? And that is the message that you sell. So when it comes to publishing and choosing which kind of platform, today the sky's the limit. We have, you can do it in an ebook, you can do it in e-doc, which is basically a PDF format. You can, you know, do a print book, you can do an app, you can do a game, it can be YouTube, audio, there's so many choices that you can grab. Print is the most expensive format, of course. And take a look at who your demographic is, because if your demographic are children, for example, are kids actually reading books? What are your kids doing? Are they playing on their tablets? Are they on their computers? How are they actually captured by messages? And that might be a clue on how to get your message out, if that's the demographic you want to reach. And if it doesn't have to be just a book, but as the demographics are a little bit older, say between 30 to 50, your demographic is going to be mixed. So you're going to have some print people. You're going to have some people who just read now exclusively off their Kindles and tablets. You're going to have, in particularly 20-somethings, who are more prone to look at video than or look at some gaming issues. The average gamer, by the way, is 34. And so there's different platforms you might want to consider putting your book out. And then, of course, we are the media now. We are not only the publisher now, we are the media. So you already have networks to push these out on, where you actually go directly to your demographic and give them the message, rather than, you know, have it planted in a brick and mortar bookstore and sit on a shelf where you hope that particular demographic happens to walk by and is captured by your cover. That's why a lot of books don't sell in bookstores. At least if you stand in a bookstore, I challenge you to stand there or even if you're having I don't know if you have Starbucks in the bookstores like we do here, if you're sitting there having a coffee, for an hour, check out how many books have flown off the shelf beside you. Chances are not a whole lot, if any. And here in Canada, the shelf life of a book in a bookstore is 6 weeks for nonfiction and 3 weeks for fiction.
Wow.
So if it's not selling, then it goes back to the publisher.
So do you find it nowadays because I always thought that if you are going to be an author, you have to be a really special kind of person. Like, you got to be a phenomenal writer. Like, you have to be really, really good. But nowadays, it seems like just by being on Google and just, you know, on Twitter, I notice everybody's publishing a book. And there's even software, book publishing software.
Oh, yes. There's a lot out there. And again, you need to be careful. Don't sign any contracts and don't spend any money until you've actually vetted who you want to go with.
And, okay.
And how you vet them is check to see if, you know, check them online for one, and also check to see if you can talk to a couple of the authors that they've worked with and pick two or three authors. I can give you an experience of mine at the very beginning when I was just learning this process myself.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had connected with me who said that they were a distributor and they were in Michigan, which
yeah.
was a part of Michigan, which is a very big area for book distributors, actually. And I even put passed their contract through my lawyer, and
mm-hmm.
my lawyer says, yeah, they're, you know, he didn't seem to be red flagged about them at all.
Yeah.
So I went with them, and what they offered is that they would put the books in bookstores and get it distributed to all the different places for in the U.S. for 20% of the retail cost, which is about average. And then they also asked in return that I place an ad in their catalog, which, you know, I guess wasn't totally unreasonable, but at the time the exchange rate between Canada and the U.S. was, it was pretty high. So an $800 ad cost me something like $1,500.
Wow.
And anyway, to make a long story short, I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and nothing's happening. And they make a connection with a Philadelphia reporter who wants a copy of my book. And so, but I had to courier it to them, right? So that cost a bit of penny. And also this distributor didn't keep inventory. So you still had to send out the books. And meanwhile, while this is going on, I have a Canadian distributor that's got my book within 3 weeks in all the bookstores across Canada.
Wow.
So I'm getting this little bit of a red flag thinking something's not right. So and it was 6 months after the fact, and I'm just thinking about it myself, right? I'm going to start contacting some of their other clients. And before I actually had the chance to do that, I had a couple of emails from somebody thinking the same thing. So as it turned out, you know, she was a scam, and we reported her on Writers Weekly, and now she's out of business. But in any case, all of us were out all this money, right? Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, she ended up being a scam. So be careful. Make sure that you do talk to some of the other authors to ensure that they do exactly what they say. So
should
don't
spend
money before you have to.
Yeah. So should an author do their search due diligence, like, you know, go on Google, reach other people to get some type of you know, agreement or like let them know, or let so they can tell if they knew anything about that person. That's what your suggestion is to double check their references.
Yeah, you want to, before you sign any contract, and also know that on Writers Weekly, Angela did a series of articles on print-on-demand companies, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I encourage people to read, to look at the archives and look at some of those. And as a disclaimer, she always puts down in her articles that her and her husband do own booklocker.com, mm-hmm. which I have used, by the way, and they okay. were awesome. And, but BookLocker doesn't print every single book, or it doesn't take every single book that comes their way. They take maybe 10% of the books that come mm-hmm. to them because they vet the books themselves so that they're not just going to take a book just for the sake of the money. They want to make sure you're going to be successful with it. So that's why they pick and choose which books. So they almost are a print-on-demand company that acts like a traditional publisher in a way. But most print-on-demand companies, you could just type out cereal boxes and they'll publish it. So they don't really care what the content is as long as you give them the money. So but vetting them is going online and checking them out and see what people are saying about them, and also they're usually on their homepage they list some of the books that they worked on, and it's easy enough to find those authors. Thank God for Google.
Yeah.
You can hunt down some of those authors and just directly contact them to see, oh, I noticed that you had your book published by so-and-so. Just wondering what your experience was like, and is there anything I should look out for, or was it a good experience? Are you happy with the end result? Blah, blah, blah. And if you can't get that information, then maybe order a book from them to see what the quality is. I've heard no end of horror stories from some pretty big name companies that a lot of people have heard of, where the quality of the book was so bad that they could not sell it. But again, that's print on demand, which is same as vanity publishing. You can do it yourself step by step and not have to go through one of those companies, and it probably will cost the same in the long run.
Well, I'm on booklocker.com, and they show all, you know, everything that you're saying that a publishing company should do. They pretty much have it. I like the way they have it. It's very simple.
Yeah, and one of the things that they have in their contract, and Angela, when she's done her Writers Weekly series, she's taken some of the top print-on-demand companies and checked their contracts. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they'll change their contracts without telling you, and you just want to make sure that you're not signing away all your rights exclusively for good, and that means you'll never be able to publish anywhere else if you, you know, sign that over. And on her contracts, or on BookLocker's contracts, they don't own any rights. They have that they actually have that written down three times in the contract, just mm-hmm. so that you know it's 100% yours.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that with mine too. And I'm not a publisher, although I publish my own books. But what I do is I help hold people's hands through the process. Yeah. I don't know really who does what I do, because I just made this up one day. Oh. I just made up the job description. So if there's somebody else that's doing it, then I guess I wasn't the only one that thought about it. But a lot of people have called themselves book packagers.
Packagers,
yeah, which is similar, I guess, but I do a little bit more. It's kind of holding, I call it holding your hand through the process.
Yeah.
But, so I do charge a fee for that, but I also, it's 100% the authors. It's not, it's like BookLocker. I don't, it's not my book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, I didn't put my blood, sweat, and tears all over the pages, so what right do I have to it?
And it's not, you know, I'm thinking thousands and thousands of dollars. I'm actually, you know, BookLocker, they have it, it's just a regular going rate for getting your books done?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, they're very, very reasonable for a print-on-demand company.
Very reasonable.
Very reasonable.
Yeah, I'm going through all their stuff, and I was kind of like, wow.
Yeah. But they also expect that you have your book edited before they get it.
Okay.
So don't even consider submitting anything to them that isn't been carefully constructed beforehand, because they will turn it down. They only take about 10% of their submissions. So.
Yeah, okay. They're out in Tampa, Bradenton.
But anybody can. We're the publisher now, so you don't even have to create a brick and mortar book anymore. There are from a PDF of a manuscript, you can have your book converted to a Kindle and EPUB. They're EPUB and Mobi files, so you can have them converted by somebody who knows what they're doing for very little dollars as well. And you can sell it as a download off your website.
Oh, yeah, which makes a lot of sense. A lot of people are doing that nowadays to get more traffic.
You don't need to go to Amazon, by the way, because Amazon is the same as most print-on-demand companies. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can have your, you can sell your print books through Amazon, and I recommend people do that. You go to Amazon Advantage. Look for the Amazon Advantage link to do that, or just Google Amazon Advantage and set yourself up as a supplier that way. But for the e-books, they want to produce them. So I haven't done it myself, but I've heard mixed reviews on how well that works for people. Some, I know somebody who's done really well using Amazon, creating their ebooks and selling them off Amazon, whereas some other people are saying, well, you know, we have to kind of give away exclusive rights to do that. So I don't know whether that's worth it or not, but it's something you have to weigh.
And if someone did Amazon, I was thinking Amazon just sold the books. I never really, I think you're the one that made me realize that they publish books too. But I wonder, you know, is their criteria as tough as some of these other companies?
No, they're like, they'd be the same as any other print on demand. And their crate space is what they use for, doing their, projects. I mean, I've heard good stories about them. I use Amazon all the time. I have books through Amazon myself, and I am certainly a Kindle addict, and I love the one click on Amazon. So I pretty much buy most of my books exclusively through Amazon now. So, but as far as using them as my publisher, probably not.
And so, but as someone that helps get, you help people go through the process, do they have to pitch you? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm reading up on some of the different publishers, and they say that they want to be pitched.
Do they have to pitch me?
Yeah, for you to pick up their contract.
Well, usually you could tell. I mean, when I don't do a project, it's, you know, there's, well, one, I'm not cheap.
Yeah.
So I do charge a professional fee for editing and for project managing, but also when somebody is coming with a project and it's more of a, their intention is an expose or is to tell the real story or something that's kind of trashy or revenge driven.
Yeah.
That's not a project I would be interested in. I don't care if it's going to sell a gazillion dollars. I probably wouldn't be interested in that.
Okay.
Just because it doesn't taste right.
Yeah.
In my mouth. You know. So most of the projects I've worked on have been pretty positive and inspiring. And even the personal story. They're still uplifting. The reason they told those stories was to basically help others and motivate others. And you know, I've done some work. I've just finished working on a book for a senior who she just wanted her book on. In a book form for her kids, really, and it's kind of a legacy project. And I've done that, and I don't charge full pop for those kinds mm-hmm. of things, but it was important to her. She had been in one of my workshops, and it was just something she's in her late 80s or early 90s now, so she wanted to make sure that she got this done, you know, before it was too late. So that to me is, that's usually I don't do those kind of projects, but I thought that was important to do that. And I think it's important for people to get their stories on paper. I really do. We all have our own, everybody has a story. And particularly when people are older generations, when you think of what they've experienced that we could learn from, and if they could get some of that on paper, what you don't know about your parents would probably shock you. So
that would be a nice book cover, what you don't know about your parents. Good title right there.
Yeah, actually, that would be a good title, wouldn't it?
Do a whole collection of different parents giving their what the kids don't know that they would share.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
So when the kids aren't sharing stuff with them, or their parents are freaking out when they don't come home at night or and whatnot, there's probably a good reason. It's because they were worse when they were their age.
Yeah, that's what I that would really make a great book, actually. So do you find it now that because of, you know, with the Facebook and the Twitter and all the social network, that books are getting, you know, writers who are nobody are getting discovered quicker than someone that's already has a following and they're being published and sold and distributed in a bigger channel? Do you think that's happening a lot more often as far as an unknown author?
I think it still comes down to it has to be. You can sell junk, and I've seen people successfully sell junk, and I know some people that have basically taken a manuscript, didn't put any editing thought into it, and just photocopied the thing, coil bound it, and sold it for $40. I know some people that have done that. Well, I don't know what the reader gets out of that book, or if they actually appreciate it after they get it with such little thought put into it, or if the information is valuable to them. But, you know, but it all comes down to sales. It all comes down to penmanship. If it's a really, really good project, we all know really, really good projects that just don't sell because the author hasn't been able to sell it properly. I mean, I'm not the greatest salesperson of my books, but I, because usually I'm too busy working on everybody else's. But it still comes down to pushing out the message. So if you already have a built-in following and they like you and they support you, then you might sell a few books. But if nobody knows about you and you're not pushing it out, it doesn't matter how good the project is. Nobody's going to hear about it.
Yeah, you just got to make this go and get out there and talk about it. So,
and again, it all comes down to demographic, too. So if your demographic is, say, 16 to 25-year-olds, and money's no object for you, and you decide to put full-page ads in newspapers, well, good luck with that.
Yeah. And what do you think about book tour?
Book tours?
Yes.
Well, you know, this is the... Even if you have a publisher, a traditional publisher, this is where one of the myths comes in, because unless you are Bill Clinton or J.K. Rowling or somebody who's already, they have determined that is already a bestseller and beyond bestseller, chances are, it doesn't matter how good your book is or where you fit on the marketing scale, they are not going to fund your book tour. They may fund a couple of places, but a lot of times they're not going to fund a whole lot. You'll be lucky sometimes even to get them to send the books there.
Yeah.
I've had that happen. I've had a book signing where the books didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
So thank God I had my other books to sell. And, but it's a misnomer that a publisher will actually pay for a lot of that touring.
Mm-hmm. But they don't.
Sometimes you have to do it yourself. In particular, if you're a self-publisher, you'd have to do it yourself. I would, what I did one time with my NHL book was, I piggybacked on two different things. So I had to go to Vancouver one time for a football conference. And at the same time I was there, there's a lot of pre-planning, but I managed to get myself on a national TV show, which is the Vicky Gamero mm-hmm. show. And how I managed that was using an angle I don't necessarily like to use all the time, although I guess I'm using it now, is the woman in the locker room thing.
Yeah.
It was my NHL book. And then I was going to see if we could coordinate the visit, if the Flames or Kelly Rudy or somebody was going to be in town at the same time, and see if we could bring them, somebody on the show with me, but couldn't coordinate their schedules. And as it turned out, I went on the show by myself, but it turned out to be really good. And I actually have those clips posted all over the place on YouTube and on my one of my websites. And so I coordinated that at the same time as this football conference. And then another time I was at another football conference in, I was in Ontario, so I managed to coordinate an interview on the set of the NHL Network at the same time. So kind of killed two birds with one stone, so to speak. So you can do that when you are setting these things up. And then I did another tour where I drove to Saskatoon, which is 8 hours from Calgary. And, I went there for a book signing with Glenn Hall, who is a very famous goalie, for those that don't know much about hockey.
Yeah, that's me.
So we did a co-book signing in Saskatchewan, and then we hosted a hockey trivia right after that, which was kind of fun. But, and then on my way there, I met with the parents of one of the Nickelback band members, because they're big hockey fans, and I coordinated that visit before, and so I stopped at their house in Hanna on the way to Saskatoon and ended up spending lunch there and whatnot, dropped off a bunch of books for the band. So I was able to coordinate different things with each book signing and or each media appearance.
And here's another thing I always think about that I'd say that I'm going to ask you. I've done some researches for some people for their books, and I noticed that the ISBN, and I was reading something, someone said that if you were going to do your own publishing, you should own your own ISBN, the International Standard Book Number.
Yes, that's your book's DNA.
Okay.
And whoever publishes the book gets the ISBN. So if you are self-publishing, you need to get an ISBN. I mean, I suppose you could do a book without the ISBN, but what it does is it gives your book some cred. And also, your ISBN number is unique. It does not matter where you apply for it, mm-hmm. in the sense that number cannot be reused. Okay. And you must apply for the ISBN number in the country that you reside.
Okay.
So being Canadian, I cannot apply for an American ISBN and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Although you'd want to apply for a Canadian ISBN because here they're free.
Yeah.
They're not that expensive in the U.S., but mm-hmm. it's every country is different in how that process works. And there is an international ISBN website where you can choose, plug in the country, and it'll tell you who issues the ISBN numbers and who to contact.
Oh, good. Thanks for that. 'Cause, yeah, that's one of my other things. I have a list of stuff I wrote it down. So I always wonder what those numbers were and where do you get those. And people were asking me about that before, too. So I just thought it was kind of interesting.
Yeah. And then the other is the cataloging and printed. You don't always get that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always easy to get. But if you can get a cataloging and print number,
yeah.
what that does is it puts you in a library catalog automatically, and you could end up getting the odd unsolicited order from mm-hmm. a library. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to, you know, retire off that, but it's just an added factor. You need the ISBN number before you can apply for that. You also need an ISBN number before you can apply for a barcode. And printers, if you're getting a book printed, if it's a bona fide book printer, and there aren't that many around. And what I mean by bona fide book printer is that their presses run 24/7 on books and
wow.
only books. And they can sometimes do a barcode for you at the time of the printing, but mm-hmm. I actually have a barcode account that I apply for on behalf of the authors that I work with and stick them in when we're doing the book. And but it's just one added little credibility factor too. So the ISBN or the barcode is really the ISBN number is on the barcode.
Mm-hmm.
That barcode goes into the retail stores, and it basically tells the scanner what product that is, and then the retailer would put another code on there, barcode on there, that has the actual price on it. So, because your price wouldn't necessarily be on the barcode that you get from the publishing, from the publisher.
Do you suggest that if you're going to do a book, do you think that an electronic book, an e-book, gives you more potential as a self-publisher? Or just really based on what your demographics are?
I'd say it depends on your demographic.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind that we're on the cusp of change, so you may need to put it in more than one format if you really want to push out your message.
Mm-hmm.
But it is way cheaper not to go print.
Yeah.
Although I have to admit that I use an American printer for any of the books that I do in Canada because it is way cheaper than using Canadian printers.
Yeah, someone told me in Asia it's a lot cheaper to get printing done.
Only for color.
Only for color. Okay.
Yeah, and you don't always know you don't know. They're kind of like the print-on-demand. They can be a dime a dozen, right? And
yeah.
you need to be able to... I would encourage getting a printer overseas before mm-hmm. using them because you don't know what
yeah.
the quality of the product's going to be. And also, when a book comes from overseas,
uh-huh.
you want to make sure... You want to spend a little extra money and shrink wrap it.
Yeah.
Because what happens is when it's traveling across the water, that just kind of helps protect the book from moisture. And but I've been told by a fellow that he works in Canada now, but he has worked in China as a in the printing industry over there for many, many years, and he recommended to me that you're only really going to save money on color printing. But black and white printing, you're better off just staying here. And again, the shipping costs are going to cost you almost as much as the print job.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of weigh whether it's even worth it.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, because
I just had a, like, Earth's book, we just did one for, I just did a book for a trilogy of doctors overseas, and they, I have his North American books here for distribution, and we got them printed in the U.S. It was a lot cheaper to have half of them sent to me rather than have them all sent overseas, and then he's got to spend the extra postage and send them back anyway.
Okay.
It's better to just have them shipped out from the same continent. And then the other half of the books went overseas. Well, the half that went overseas to him, the shipping cost almost as much as the print job. So it's, however, if you just sent that box of books, or a couple boxes of books with UPS or FedEx, it would have cost four times as much.
Yeah. Wow. Because, you know, no, I was just thinking, like, I was helping someone out with a project, and they lived in Australia, and it was going to be distributed in Australia, and they said they're going to get some, I guess Australia and Asia are very close, so they're going to get all their stuff, all the paper and everything done in Asia, and then ship it through cargo to them, to Australia. So that way it worked better.
And I'm always on the hunt for overseas printers, but again, I get a lot of people soliciting for business, and usually when I look at their emails, I decide right there whether or not I'm going to do business with them, because a lot of times they're using the lowercase I, and they're spelling errors, and they're not necessarily paying attention to detail in their emails. So if they don't pay attention to detail in their emails, what did their books look like?
That's true. And I just, like, did the Google search for self-book publishing. I knew Amazon. I knew Lulu. There's one called Blurb. I've heard of it. Never had a chance to work with it. And I know Cafe Press did your own publishing. I didn't realize there's like at least 10 or 12 self-book publishing.
Many print-on-demand companies there's probably as many print-on-demand companies as there are computers. Because think about it. You and I can both be a print-on-demand publisher because we have a computer. And all we have to do is buy InDesign, create the file or some desktop publishing program, throw the thing in. We don't even have to edit the layout because most of those layouts are not edited, and send it to printer. That's all we have to do.
Oh.
So why, if that's all you have to do, why don't you do it?
Yeah.
I always tell people, unless you're a graphic designer by trade, hire one.
Yeah.
But if you can do a book just out of a Word layout, but you can't get it offset printed. So there's two types of printing, offset and digital. And digital is fairly good quality, but it's sheet fed, and so you don't necessarily need to worry about page counts and things like that. With offset printing, it's more of that old-fashioned printing where you've got several pages printed on one sheet on both sides, and then they're folded and then trimmed and sent into the binding. There's a lot more setup involved with offset printing, and in order to send files to an offset printing printer, they need to actually be professionally created, or else they're going to look like crap, for lack of a better term.
So let's round up the show a little bit and summarize. So anyone could be a self-book publisher, pretty much.
Anyone.
And the book is based, as far as marketing the book, is based on what the demographics of the book is. Am I correct?
Yeah. Who's already vested in your material? Who needs to see your material? Mm-hmm. Who would care about your material? Because not everybody will. And that's a good thing in a way, because if your material is not generalized, then you know exactly who to approach.
Mm-hmm.
You can figure out who your demographic is right down to their underwear size, and then go directly to them.
That makes sense. And should someone have, if someone did self-publishing and they're going to market themselves and they got a designer to help them with the, they got a graphic designer and everything, should they have a Facebook page per book, or should they just have a fan page for themselves and include the book?
That would depend on the message.
Okay.
And I'd say it depends on you know, their comfort zone too, and what's been working for them in the past. You, again, setting up a Facebook page, not everybody should, really, if they're not going to engage people in it, mm-hmm. in that platform. You can't sell on that platform, right?
Yeah.
So you have to find a way to engage the message,
mm-hmm.
and create an interest that way. You could, marketing is another thing that is open season. Just, there's so much out there, and you can just Google marketing ideas. You can follow people who are doing well at selling the message that you're writing, and you don't necessarily have to reinvent things. You can just use some of other people's ideas to make it, you know, put your own flavor on it. And there's so much out there. There's so many learning tools out there, and they're just as close as your monitor.
Yeah, 'cause I remember when I was younger, it was a big deal to get your book published, that you're going to make a lot of money.
It still is.
It's still a big deal. It's just harder.
In fact, anybody out there who has finished a book, has actually not published, but just completed a manuscript, the first thing they absolutely have to do is pat themselves on the back, because you hear people talk about wanting to do it. You hear people talking about they are doing it. But the fact that you actually did it, finished it, that is a big deal, because, you know, take a look around. How many do you know who have done it?
I mean, my boyfriend wrote a book, so. But he did it when he was very young. But I just remember people, you know, making it like a huge deal out of it, but then, you know, it is a huge deal because, you know, they finished it.
It is a huge deal.
But people don't become rich on writing books, do they?
Oh, no.
No, right? That's what I was trying to say. There's no rich people in book writing.
Whoever said a book was a lottery ticket should be shot.
Mm-hmm.
Because it isn't. Don't quit your day job, ever. The J.K. Rowling's, I mean, she didn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
And plus the fact that it was the right book at the right time to the right market,
mm-hmm.
everything fell into place, but you don't see the struggle that she had getting up there. She had, you know, she didn't have a job, I think, for a while.
Wow.
And she wrote it in cafes and mm-hmm. she, in between her kids' naps and you know, that's a rarity. It doesn't happen. It's let's just say the success of book publishing is the same as the success of you went down to Hollywood right now and decided to cattle call for an acting job.
Wow. That's kind of brutal.
Look how many books are in a bookstore.
Yeah.
Go to your closest Barnes & Noble, take a look at all the books on the shelf. Then you spend an hour in the store and pay attention to how many books are flying off the shelf.
Which isn't much. We used to go to book stores all the time and just hang out, and we always end up buying magazines, actually. We don't buy anything. We'll buy certain books, and I buy books depending on what I was into at that time. So, I mean, I went through stages in my life where I was into anti-aging, you know, and health, so I'd buy a bunch of books about a different author, and then I get into social media. At that time, I bought tons of books on marketing and social media. And actually, my good friend Mark Lehman, the co-founder of New Tech Community and also the founder of Coworking Florida, he just emailed me on Facebook saying that he wants to write a book on social integration marketing. And which is, you know, he's a specialist in it. So I should friend request you guys.
Very cool.
Maybe I can push him to do that too. But, you know, I find that today with all the tools we have, I think I would rather buy an audio book, because I just listening is more my thing than is to read.
Yeah, and there are, you know, and it's, again, it's publishing, and you could do a DVD as well, but audio books, definitely, and I have to say that I do buy audio tapes to listen in my car and sometimes on my computer while I'm working, and also download it on my MP3 player so I can listen to them while I go to sleep. And so that absolutely is an option. It's as a self-publisher of audio, you've got tools like Audio Edition where you can edit your audio and you can put it on a master CD, send it to a company. I use a company in Edmonton, which is a 3-hour drive from Calgary, that actually produces CDs from the master. They'll do the cover on it, and they'll put it in whatever jewel case you want to put it in, and send it back to you. So there are companies that help you with that. You can go online too and find people that will also reproduce CDs for you as well. All you need is a master.
So,
and absolutely,
Debbie, as far as cost wise,
probably depends who you go to, but I mean, again, the more you produce, the cheaper it is.
Yeah. So is audiobooks more expensive or less expensive compared to a ebook?
It could be more expensive because it depends on your packaging.
Okay, it's all in packaging. Okay.
It's all in the packaging. If you're just going to do it on a jewel case or on a sleeve, then it probably won't cost that much money. But when you see ebooks or audiobooks rather, you usually see them in a fancy package.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And depending on the die cutting of that package, those little booklets I mentioned earlier, where Betty had done about 5 of these little booklets, and what we did is we put them all together in a briefcase. We made a die cut briefcase for them. That die cut briefcase cost as much to print as the entire book collection.
Wow.
So it all depends on what goes into creating that product. And the sky's the limit. It's, you know, whatever your mind can come up with, you can create.
Just keep yourself in budget.
It's just, what's it going to cost you?
Yes, it keeps yourself in budget. But then once it's done, that's the hard part, is just to get it sold.
Yeah, or you know, you can give away content, you can give away chapters. I mean, this is where you have to get creative, and there's no easy answer, and it depends on your demographic.
So has anyone...
It depends on your message and how you position your message, how you pitch it.
What have you heard of any case where someone just self-published and then they did so well in the social network that a big publishing house picked them up? Is that
Shana Cabani was on a screencast with Mitch Jackson a few weeks ago, and she wrote The Zen of Social Media. And Shana, at the time that she wrote that book, she could not get anybody interested in publishing that book because everybody was thinking, some people still think this today, but everybody was saying to her, oh, social media is a fad, it's just going to die out. And she knew that she wanted to publish this. So what she did is she made it into an ebook first, which was probably not a tablet or Kindle book, but an e-doc, probably a PDF at the time. Mm-hmm. She sold a whole whack of these as a PDF, and she sold it through Twitter.
Wow.
And what she did not know at the time that she was on Twitter is that somebody following her was an agent.
Wow.
And the agent had bought the book and then had connected with her after that, and that's how she landed her publisher.
That's incredible.
However, if you do the math, though,
okay,
when you get a publisher, they take most of the proceeds, right?
Yeah.
They give you something like, I'd say it averages about 7% off the retail cost.
Okay.
So if she published it herself, if she took the proceeds from the ebook and decided to publish and fulfill it herself, maybe hire a couple of students or whatnot to send them out, do the math, 100% of the cover cost compares to 7% of the cover cost.
That's huge.
She would have made way more money.
Oh my gosh. I just realized, I was enjoying our chat. I realized it's like we went way over our time.
We are way over time.
Yes. So let's round up the show really quick because the play is going to, and I'm like answering questions. I'm actually asking questions from Mark Lehman because he actually wrote his book, but he wanted some more information on different things. But I'm going to friend request you guys so you guys can chat offline on that. But this Friday, we are doing a spreecast for Social Chats Fall of Friday with Mattis. Did I pronounce his last name correct?
Matt.
Oh, okay. And his book is Yin and Yang, Your Health. And he is in Shanghai, China. I'm thrilled about this because it's going to be 1 o'clock his time. And it's 1 o'clock afternoon our time. His time is 1 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. Am I correct? Is that? Yeah, that was right.
Yeah, it's 14 hours.
Wow.
I think is the difference. Yeah.
And so we're going to do and you helped him pretty much. Like, he contacted you through LinkedIn.
And I met him through LinkedIn.
Wow. And from there, now you're developing his book, and he's launching his website.
Today.
Okay. Everything just fell right in place there. So, we're going to promote it like crazy right before Friday because, and he's in China. I mean, we can't really talk to him on Facebook because it's being watched pretty much. But I told him I should have some email. But have you been online with him, getting him ready for Spreecast?
Or are you guys working on this week? I'm trying to set up a time to get him ready, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, let me know, if you need me to be on, and then so that we can talk online too. But I want to thank you, Debbie, again, for coming on and giving some more insights on self-book publishing and do's and don'ts. You've helped a lot of people, I'm telling you, because, you want to publish a book, but then you don't know where to start. So we'll make sure that they start with you.
Yeah, just don't quit their day job.
Yeah, don't quit your day job, folks. Just hang on to your job. But on that note, I want to say thank you, and everyone have a great day, and make sure you tune in tomorrow to Social Chats Locals with Vice Queen Maria and myself. And Deb, have a great day, and I will chat with you later.
Thanks for having me again.
Bye-bye.
Bye.